Well, guess what? Our special guest has arrived. Dr. Cole, can you see me?
I can see you. Can you see me, Mike?
I absolutely can. Can everybody put their hands together? Everyone, I want you to meet Dr. Ryan Cole. Dr. Ryan Cole. Now, I want to, people that don't know, I'll refresh their memories. And thanks to Ashley for making this connection. So I downloaded this app as a result of you, and it's the Vitamin D Tracker app.
Yeah.
And I've been telling people ever since I watched your talk, I'm like, stop calling it flu season. Let's get it right so we can help people. It's vitamin D deficiency season. And I got that from you. So, Dr. Ryan Cole, MD, you're in Idaho. It looks like you're in your office. Gosh, thank you for taking the time out. This is great. Let's talk.
All right, let's talk. It's Farm Friday, right?
It's Free Farm. That's right. It's Free Farm Friday.
So we can talk COVID, or we can talk farming and health and wellness and the earth and good things and things we should all be thinking about.
this past weekend at the Red Pill Expo, there were a couple of people that mentioned you. And one of them had mentioned something that you were working on. And, you know, I put it in my note to you, and I completely forgot. I'm having a space out now on his name. But he mentioned you and something that you were working on for those, or some statistics for those that have been vaccinated, and of the future effects and what we're starting to see and what that may portend for the future. Can you elaborate on that? Do you know what he's talking about? I'll find out who it is in just a minute.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So the shots are something we've never done to humanity before. You know, if I can give one message to the world right now, it's like, do not give this to children. They don't need it. So that's my number one message. Please don't vaccinate the kids unless you've got a super high-risk kid that may benefit. The risks outweigh the benefits. So what am I studying? You know, I have several autopsy tissues that have come to my lab, and I'm looking for the presence of persistent spike protein in those who have deceased from the vaccine. And we know that after the vaccine in North America and territories, we have at least 18,000 deaths. So that's more than all vaccines combined over the last 30 years in just 9-10 months. So that's concerning. So this gene-based vaccine has not been proven long-term. So I'm trying to study the effects thereof. And, you know, numerator, denominator, most people seem to be okay for now. The other thing we're starting to see around the world is people are more susceptible now to getting the virus after the shots. So like we had the Colorado governor yesterday saying, everybody go get a booster. But we don't have any common sense where right after you get the shot, you actually go into a state of immune suppression for several weeks, making you more susceptible to acquire the virus. So just about everywhere where they roll out the shot, you actually have an increase of acquisition of virus, which is just basic immunology 101. So I'm studying all sorts of things. I'm looking at the clotting factors, you know, that get bumped up. You know, people get a shot and all of a sudden they're clotting like mad. That's what we see a lot of the bad reactions from. In addition, those who do pass from the shot, we're seeing huge inflammatory reactions in the body. And the spike protein itself, to the benefit of those who designed it, at first, you know, you want to pick the most immune reactive part of any pathogen when you're making a vaccine. Well, they pick the spike. Well, the spike tends to be the toxic part. Now we know in retrospect. So that was kind of a mistake, and now it's a huge mistake. So those who get the vaccine, you know, again, most are going to be fine, but at the same time, many are primed for a future coronavirus infection that could actually trigger their immune system to make their condition even worse than it would have been otherwise. And then the most important thing on the shot too, other than don't give it to kids, is if you've had COVID, you don't need a shot, period, end of story, immunology 101. You know, you go to the brownstoneinstitute.org, they now have 126 papers on the primacy of natural COVID recovered immunity over vaccine immunity. So there's a long rambling for you.
Well, it was Dr. David Martin is the one.
Oh, yeah. David's a well-researched man, and he knows the patents and he knows the problems. And yeah, I think people should listen to what he has to say. I haven't had time to research all those patents like he has, but I think it's an important story he tells.
Well, let me just ask you from what I've seen that you've done. I saw you testify in front of the, I believe it was the Idaho legislature, or I think, was it a legislature?
Yeah, it was a lunch meeting. This is the irony of this whole year. You know, I thought I was giving a chit chat to 100 people, not knowing tens of millions of people would hear what I said.
Okay, so this is very important for our audience, and we broadcast this live now, and then after the fact, we can transmit it out to tens of millions. You have identified something that few people have identified. It wasn't part of the original Zelenko protocol, I do not believe. American frontline doctors did not have it as part of their protocol that I can recall. But you identified as one of the things that one of the compounds that we're all missing, especially during the winter time, is vitamin D. And this is a linchpin. This is a key. This is very, very important for people to understand. Talk about the importance of vitamin D.
Okay, vitamin D, it's not just a vitamin. It's a pro-hormone. So it directly or indirectly controls 2,000 genes in your body. So on-off signals. And when your body is working in concert like a symphony with appropriate minerals, appropriate vitamins, appropriate health and wellness, well, then it can fight off whatever the insult is. And your body, yeah, you may get a cold a little bit. You may be sick for a few days. But then your body knows how to turn signals on and off, so you recover. About 70% of Americans are vitamin D deficient or insufficient. The darker your skin, the farther north you live, the more vitamin D deficient you are. There were huge studies after I gave that presentation, 191,000 patient study, and it basically showed this curve, you know, goes like this. And once your D is above 50, that's when, about 50, 55 is when all your receptors in your body are saturated. Every cell in your body, every nucleus has a receptor for vitamin D for a reason, because it's always reaching out and looking for that signal. And once you're up in that normal range, your chance of getting COVID gets cut by over half and your severity gets cut by about 80%+. So those people with D in normal range, we found that right now about 90%+ of people in the ICUs are vitamin D deficient. About 80% of hospitalized patients are vitamin D deficient. So, I mean, if you can do just that one thing, then you decrease. Yeah, sure, you may get COVID. And, you know, my joke about there's no such thing as flu or cold season is kind of hyperbolic. But even if you do get a flu or cold, it's going to be much shorter, much milder. And so vitamin D in conjunction, you know, another thing we're deficient in North America because our depleted soils, this being Farm Friday, is magnesium. You know, our row cropping, we've depleted our soils for magnesium. And magnesium helps move that vitamin D from your fat stores into your circulation where it can work. And a little vitamin K2 helps balance your calcium balance as well. So vitamin D, super deficient population. The lower your vitamin D, the higher your risk for COVID, the more severe your COVID will be, the more severe your flu will be, the more severe your colds will be, period.
So I took what you said and I went a little further and I looked it up and I read a little bit more about it. And then through the app, you find out that above the 43rd parallel, I believe it is, or 35th. 35th, after October the 10th or so, there's a part where the equinox, where the sun goes below the horizon. You can't get it. There is no time of the day where you're right. In Idaho, you cannot get serum D3, true?
Absolutely true. I mean, you can run outside naked for 5 months. I don't recommend it. You might freeze parts you don't want to freeze. But you can do that, and you will synthesize zero vitamin D for the next 4 to 5 months. And that's really above Tennessee, above Southern California. So most people are like, oh, I live in a sunny place. You know, it's the matter of how many UVB rays can penetrate our atmosphere. And on any given day at the peak, only about 1.5% come through. Hit your skin, as much skin exposed as possible during D season you need to expose to synthesize, because natural D from the sun, imagine that, natural things work better. But in the winter, you do need to supplement. And that's why we generally see flus and colds in the winter, because our D levels drop, and you get sick once, you deplete your D. You get sick again, you deplete your D, you become more immune suppressed. So I was just up in Alaska a few weeks ago giving some lectures, and I said, look, everybody in the state right now everybody in my state of Idaho is technically immune suppressed right now if they're not taking vitamin D, period.
So I want to go back to something. Dr. Ryan Cole on our Dude Maker Skype line here on Free Farm Friday, and just happens to be on Friday, because someone is asking me, did he say that most people are not going to have a reaction to the Moderna and Pfizer and Janssen jabs? Or did you say that we just don't know?
We don't know long term. That's okay. My biggest concern is the long term. In the immediate term, you know, this is the argument that many make is like, yeah, but look how many people are fine after their shot. And I say, yeah, but look how many aren't. And then if we were doing things properly, we would have huge studies. I mean, these studies that they got these approved on were short term, a few months. And where are the long-term studies? Where's been a single safety data meeting from the FDA, NIH, CDC telling the people, well, here's the blood profile at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. We haven't had that from any of our agencies. So, but I mean, take, for example, the trial in the kiddos. 86% had a bad reaction to the shots of some sort. And yet we rolled them forward after a short study on healthy kids. And so my point being, a lot of people are going to be fine. We don't know the long term. That's the honest answer. I have some sneaking suspicions in the long term that aren't rosy.
Well, you won't know until the long term gets here.
Right. That's the whole thing about willy-nilly pushing an experimental shot onto a worldwide population without even having done the animal trials prior. We know the history of coronavirus vaccines. That's why we don't and haven't ever had a coronavirus vaccine for a reason. And so my honest answer, if I'm a scientist, is, well, I just don't know. And I'm not optimistic for many people. Other people, I am. And here's the other, going back to vitamin D and the shots.
Okay.
If you want to any shot you get, any infection you've had, if you want to maintain immune memory over a lifetime, you got to keep your vitamin D levels up because you need a certain type of cell, your helper T cell, to talk to your plasma cells to keep tickling them and say, hey, make some antibodies. And the T cells talking to your memory T cells, hey, remember this pathogen, remember this virus. If your D is low, you have poor immune memory. Why are we on to boosters? Well, because most people are vitamin D deficient. So instead of a public health system saying, hey, guys, the shots aren't working, well, plus we're on to Delta, which is five generations away from the original virus, which is kind of dumb too. But at least they should be saying, okay, lose some weight, get your vitamin D levels up, move your body. Instead of locking down, everybody go walk the block. You know, all these public health messages being missed. And vitamin D and immunity are basic science. And it's as though we don't have an agency that remembers what basic health is.
So you're Dr. Ryan Cole, your company is Cole Diagnostics. So I want to talk to you about something that is kind of ancillary to this, but it's not. And it's a problem that we've had here in the United States, and it's grown, and no one seems to be trying to do anything about it. And that is morbid obesity. That is diabetes 2 in young people who should not be having diabetes. Now, this is a direct result, I believe most scientists will say, or most of the people that study as epidemiologists for certain would say, well, we can go back and we can see what's happened here, and that's that the food supply or what people are consuming has been loaded up with stuff that destroys insulin and your body's ability to create it. So we're creating sick people. We're creating people dependent for the rest of their lives, like my little brother, dependent for the rest of his life on insulin injections and diabetes too. So number one, that's a comorbidity right there. You get heart problem, you're in big trouble. But add the flu or pneumonia or ILI, as your doctors call it, influenza-like illness to it. Now we have a double whammy. Why is no one who is a public health officer for any state out talking about this crisis, number one, and just general good health prophylaxis, your vitamin C, your B complexes. Why? I mean, that's what public health should be all about, right, Dr. Cole?
100%. So I'm on my Central District Health Board. That's controversial because I got appointed to it. So the world hates me because I like giving health messages. So you're absolutely right. If I want to make a lab rat vitamin D deficient, I feed them a high fructose corn syrup diet. That's how I make them D deficient in the laboratory setting for research studies. What's in 70 to 80% of our shelved foods in the grocery store? As a preservative and a sweetener, high fructose corn syrup. What do we eat way too much of? Sugar and high fructose corn syrup. 80% of Americans are metabolically unwell, diabetic, pre-diabetic. And we do. And you can lay a line since the 1970s when we started using this crap in our diets, high fructose corn syrup, a direct linear relationship between our obesity epidemic as well as our diabetes epidemic. And it's literally an epidemic. So you're 100% right. Eat the periphery of the grocery store. You know, if it's not a whole food in a whole form, or if you can't read the ingredient on the label, don't put it in your body. You know, it's, we are eating junk as a nation. And then the oils, the seed oils, the canola oils, the corn oils, the soybean oils are just as inflammatory as the sugars. The omega-6 oils, anything that's, you know, cottonseed oil, safflower, sunflower, canola, grapeseed, corn, etc. I mean, eat your olive oils, your avocado oils. If you can't press it and oil just doesn't come oozing out, then it's not a real oil. All those other oils are, I call them industrial seed oils. You have to put them through like an oil refinery, you know, like gasoline for your car in order to get these oils. So inflammatory oils, tons of sugar, too much carbohydrates, sedentary lifestyle. We know the number one risk factor for a poor outcome with COVID, plain and simple, is obesity and all the diseases that go along with obesity. And that's the complex problem. And have you heard, you know, the officials in Washington or your officials from each state saying, look, take care of your metabolic health. Look in the mirror. We're not fat shaming anyone. We're trying to health promote people. And there's another study just came out last week. Four of the five SARS-CoV-2 antibodies that one should form are malformed in obesity. You can't form good antibodies if you're obese. The obesity tends to decrease vitamin D as well. It's all intertwined.
So I want to show you something, Dr. Ryan Cole here on our Dude Maker Skype line with us. He'll know what this is, or maybe he will. You know what that is?
That's a lovely almond.
What? No, 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 it's a seed.
Oh, I can't tell from here. I'm looking.
It's an apricot seed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's loaded with Laetril.
Yep, I'm aware of that one. Vitamin, what is it, B19, B29, something like that.
Well, it never cataloged it. 17, right.
17, okay.
This is another one of these little things that the pharmaceutical industry crushed in its infancy when the discovery was made. Hey, wait a minute. This stuff has really good healing properties to it. This Laetril stuff, and even it's a prophylaxis against certain cancers, but it's also an early stage. If you catch it early enough, you can actually treat it with this. In your experience, have you seen this sick, evil, symbiotic relationship, if you will, between the pharmaceuticals and the big ag businesses creating a disease or a poison and then supposedly riding into the rescue with a medical compound that's a cure?
That's a great point. I mean, overall, the giant systems aren't there to heal you. I mean, we don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system.
There you go.
If we were about health, we would be talking about metabolic unwellness. We would be talking about those things you do or don't put into your body. We would talk about the deficiencies that you have in your diet. I mean, vitamin D is directly or indirectly related to 17 different cancers. The farther north you live, the higher your depression rates. Vitamin D is better than Prozac for depression, head-to-head in studies. The lower your vitamin D levels, the further north you live, the higher your breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer rates, thyroid cancer rates. If you are adequately nourished, if you are adequately fit, barring some weird genetic disorder, you will decrease your risk for almost all disease and cancer if you focus on health and wellness instead of saying, where's my next pill for this? Where's my next pill for that? It's up to us to take care of this beautiful body we have for a brief time on this planet instead of being dependent on those giant companies and industries that, just like you point out, want to hook them on it.
All right. Kind of a follow-up question. When you get out of med school, what year did you get out of med school?
Oh, gosh. What was it, hon? 1997.
Okay. You got him.
They're sitting here reminding me.
You got a med school in 1997. The world's in front of you. You know, you're going to become a doctor. You'll start this practice. The cold diagnostics that comes along and all that. Did you ever think in your mind at any point in time, fresh out of med school, maybe when you were going through your residency at the end of med school, did you ever think that it would come a point where there would actually be a full-on war? Bad, evil doctors versus good doctors that are trying to do the right thing. And that we would actually need this thing called, and God thank the Lord, that we have America's frontline doctors. And that you would actually have government targeting MDs and physicians and saying, he is not worthy. And then media coming along going like, you're not worthy. Hey, we're not allowed to have that kind of truth on her. You just came from a conference where my daughter met you. And I mean, this conference that you went to never happens in a sane world, does it?
This is bizarre. You're absolutely right. We had some of the most brilliant minds in the world at this conference, some of the most published doctors, thousands of papers between them, academic accolades. And yet these people are the, you know, misinformation, disinformation. We have lost dialogue, not only in medicine, but in society. It's the us versus them. And to me, again, a virus like this, it's not a political issue. It's not red. It's not purple. It's not blue. This is about humanitarianism.
Right.
And we've lost our humanity. And people look at, you know, Germany and go, oh, gosh, I never would have been the bad ones. And meanwhile, you know, how did in the Nuremberg trials, Goering said to, you know, when he was questioned, well, how did 93% of Germans follow 7% of these extreme Nazis? It's like, it was easy, fear. So they've induced all these changes with fear, and they've pitted one group against another group. We have literally lost the ability to dialogue and say, look, I may be wrong, you may be wrong, I may be right, you may be right, but let's sit at a table together. Here's the data, here's the information, and then we have the media in their camp gaslighting us on, you know, these wonderful medicines that are antiviral, anti-inflammatory, anti-clotting, that they keep, you know, if you say the word, your board of medicine's coming after you, let alone use it on a patient and save their life. How dare you save lives? How dare you show these pharmaceutical companies that are using these kajillion dollar drugs that are killing kidneys of patients and killing patients in hospital? How dare you show them up by actually using safe, simple things that keep patients out of the hospital and save their lives? It is a bizarre, upside-down world in which we find ourselves. I never dreamt I would be here.
And now that you're here, you know, you're in the state of Idaho, you would think that's a very agriculture-based state, you know, farming, mining, and what have you. You would think that, you know, you would have, by and large, people at the earth kind of conservative or just agrarian people thinking about things. And an agrarian can't think about fantasy. You can't grow crops because you identify as a farmer. You actually have to grow them. Well, I identify as a farmer. Well, you better have a food bank nearby, pal. You would think that in a state like Idaho and in Montana that this had no traction whatsoever. But the sad fact is that almost every politician that there is did make this political. They turned it into a political football. That it never SARS-CoV-1 and the virus that came before it actually killed, if you take the comorbidities out of the corona doom, as I call it, you take the comorbidities, factor them out, you're not even into triple digit death here. So we've had, look, I'm here in Louisiana. I'm a Louisiana native. I was born here. My ancestors went through three yellow fever epidemics. Those are real epidemics local. So they did make politics out of it, unfortunately, which is a position I don't think that you guys, America's frontline doctors, sons the proper noun title. You are a frontline doc. You're an MD. The government should never be put between you and your patients. Yet not only did they do it, Dr. Cole, it looks like they're going to get away with it. Do you have any hope? Give us some hope.
All right, here's the hope. Your health and your wellness is your own.
Okay.
You know, never depend on the government for anything. I'll go back to Reagan. You know, we're here from the government. We're here to help. That's a joke. That's not true. It's up to you. It's up to us. We have a constitution for a reason. We need to protect that. hope is you read it and understand it. Number two, your body is your own. Don't let anybody violate your body with anything at any time if you it's against your will. We are free people. We are the greatest nation on earth. Let's remain that way. Number three, you can take care of your health and wellness, and you can find doctors that still do care. And if you tune your own health, if you're prepared, you shall not fear.
Okay.
And we've lived in fear. Maybe that's because we weren't prepared. So, I mean, this is a wake-up call for all of us to say, look, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get involved in my local politics and make it free again. I'm going to get involved in my own health, make myself better again. I'm going to get involved in my own mental wellness and turn off all the junk that comes in through the bad channels. You know, the hope is you are a free soul. You are a smart person. You know, degrees and all that, whatever. There are so many smart people on this planet that see life for what it is. And you've got that gift of a mind and a body. Use it for good.
All right. A fact here. Final fact. Then we'll talk farming. The Italians just segregated from COVID from with COVID. Now, I've been talking about this since April of 2020. I can read. Like Congressman Massey once said, no, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I am a scientist, and I can read data, and I know what the data says. Well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, but I can read data. And I saw the data coming out of the Lombard region in March and April of 2020. I went, these are all comorbidities. These are all old people. You know, I don't want to belabor the point. The point is that we did have an incidence. We don't know exactly what it was. As Dr. Lee Merritt said at the Red Pill Expo this weekend, she goes, and she was the first person I heard say it other than somebody I saw on Off-Dash Guardian, they never isolated it. Then they never purified it. Then they never replicated it. Then they never made it into a copy and infected something with it. They didn't do any of these things, and yet here we are. So if you want to comment on that, just that's a big, broad brush that I painted with.
All right. There's a virus going around. It affects the elderly comorbid, and we never lock down the healthy and well or quarantine the healthy and well. It's called house arrest when you lock down the healthy and well. It's not called quarantine. We have a virus that's survivable and treatable, and we know who it affects. I mean, even Anthony Fauci in those 3,000 plus emails says to a friend going to South Korea during their big outbreak, hey, what should I take? And he's like, hydroxychloroquine, of course. No, I mean, we have a manageable disease. We've made it about power, control, and money. But again, there are treatments that work early. There are things you can do for your health and wellness. All those things. We know who it affects. SARS-CoV-1 affected the comorbid. SARS-CoV-2 affects the elderly and the comorbid. This is an age-stratified, comorbidity-stratified disease. And we're treating everything as though, you know, the government has a hammer and everything's a nail. That's why you leave the kids alone. The kids are the buffer to this pandemic. The kids, 60 to 80% of them in most regions have already had it. Of course, you don't give the kids a shot. Period. There's more harm than good for the kids. Middle range. Look, if you have the comorbidities, know what to do for your body. Find the doctor, get early treatment, have it on hand, be ready. Smarter nations than us, developing nations, India, you know, the smarter developing nation. What did they do? You know, they went and passed out early treatment packs to everybody that tested positive and all their families. And these early drugs that they've gaslit us about, and their pandemic's over. They're excited because the flu is back, because COVID's done in certain country or certain regions of their country. I mean, Uttar Pradesh, the northern province, 240 million people, two-thirds the size of the United States.
Okay.
What do they do? Early treatment packs. How many cases do they have in Uttar Pradesh per day right now? 20. Yeah, about 20 a day. And I mean, so essentially just a buzz baseline endemic, almost a nothing burger virus now. 75, 80% of them have antibodies now. What does that mean? They're immune, period. They're done. So why can't we be as smart as a third world country or a developing nation?
I would tell you just one thing. I wrote a letter to President Trump, a friend of mine, and he encouraged me, and he helped me with the details. And on April the 1st, not an April Fool's joke, I wrote a letter to President Trump. I sent it to him. I don't know whatever happened to it. Here's what I said. I said, President Trump, you have a chance to launch a new Apollo project, and it's all yours. Tell your Corona Doom team, here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask that 10 million units of the following be pre-positioned at every ReadyMed, every doctor's office, every public health clinic, and every hospital in the United States. Ready? Elemental zinc, hydroxychloroquine, heavy doses of vitamin C, azithromycin. Pre-position these assets here. Say, if you have any symptoms, go to an early treatment center and get the dose. Instead of get the jab, get these simple prophylaxis. This would have been over in a matter of a month. Flu season would have ended, or vitamin D deficiency season would have ended. So maybe we should give thanks for what we learned here during this, which is tens of millions of people now, Dr. Cole, know what that little seed is. Tens of millions of people there now have on the tips of their tongue, oh, you need to take quercetin. I didn't know what the hell quercetin was a year ago. I didn't. You need to take elemental zinc. You mean like that they make pennies out of? No, you don't need a penny. People have now simple health consciousness, right, on their minds that they didn't have before. I think that ultimately that's a win. Don't you agree?
I think it is when that people are like, oh, there are things I can do. Yep, you can lose some weight. You can get your vitamin D up. You can supplement as needed where your deficiencies are. You can move your body more. And you can open your mind more and be more aware of what people are teaching or not teaching. I think that's the key. I mean, that's the biggest revolution right there is we still own our minds.
All right, let's talk farming. Free Farm Friday here. Ashley tells me that you are quite the farmer and the regenerative farmer. You got six children. You have a ranch in Idaho. Tell me about the Cole Ranch.
Oh, right. Yeah, so I've got 21 acres. I grew up a city slicker in Virginia, in the D.C. areas where I grew up. So, you know, suburban kid living on a cul-de-sac. My dad always had his little postage stamp garden. And I always had this fantasy someday. I think it was the Reader's Digest Back to Basics book or something. And remember reading that and thinking, oh, gosh, wouldn't it be fun just to be self-sufficient and independent? So over the years, as I'm trying to pay down all the student loan debts, I thought someday I want a little piece of land, So I ended up buying a last property at the end of the road, paved road on what used to be a hayfield. And I turned that into... See, we've got three farmers working 9 acres of organic veggies. I have about 250 fruit trees I planted that we're harvesting. I was spiralizing and doing dehydrated apple chips last night, organic, you know, from the earth, no pesticides. And then I have, let's see, my lamb flock, I'm up to 35, so I eat my own protein from the pasture. And organic grass-fed, no antibiotics. Got a couple of Angus. Started a new hobby this year. I bought 2 Wagyu Japanese steer.
Oh.
So that's going to be fun, turning those into deliciousness in a year or two from now.
I love raising deliciousness. That just sounds so good. As you know, I used to do barbecue cooking competitions here in the South. And we met a farmer who would raise a Duroc hog for us. And we would ask him, hey, if we give you grain from mashes that came from local breweries, same thing as feeding beer to a pig. Well, you feed the beer to the pig, and it was over farming deliciousness. So, and now you said you had 21 acres, but you had 35 head on the land. That's a lot, especially with cows involved.
I do the Joel Salatin thing.
There you go. That's what I was trying to drag out of you. Okay, let's talk about that.
Rotational grazing, good for the earth. So, you know, the cows will eat the grass down to a set height. And then, so I have multiple paddocks fenced off. So I'll start the cows in one paddock. They graze there for, you know, set number, week or two. Shift them over to the next paddock where the grass is nice and tall. Then I move my lambies in behind them. And now they like to nibble it down even shorter. And then I can take my ducks and chickens and let them run loose. And they peck out all the pests and whatnot that's left in the dung and get rid of the flies and the larvae. It's a high protein for the chickens. And then they go back to the coop and roost and lay me nice, healthy, nutritionally rich eggs. And then I just keep that rotation going. And so, and in the winter, yeah, I do have to bring in some organic alfalfa to supplement because of our snows and what. I can't graze year round up here.
Right, right.
But you know, and then that pasture, gosh, it's fertilized. It keeps thickening, keeps growing. And yes, I have lots of clover in there because I do honeybees as well. I like to keep honeybees on my farm, so that's another hobby. And so just watching the earth, you know, produce and in abundance. And that's the amazing thing is, you know, you don't have to have 21 acres. You can be on your 1/3 acre lot in a suburban neighborhood. And it's amazing. If you look back at World War II and the concept of victory gardens, why doesn't everybody at least have one or two tomato plants and a couple raspberry bushes or blueberry bushes, wherever, whatever part of your country? I drive around and you see all this expensive landscaping that gets watered. And I think, turn that into food. Plant a fruit tree. You don't need 250 fruit trees like me. You know, I don't have time to keep up 250, but I enjoy it. So I mean, just plant something. That's the fun thing. Plant something, watch it grow, and reap the benefit of the deliciousness of something that's homegrown, organic, and from the earth, your own earth. Or even a pot of tomatoes or strawberries on your apartment porch if you live in an apartment or a condo. Grow something. It's part of life. It's part of who we are.
So this is called adaptive multi-paddock grazing.
Yes.
AMG. Is what it's called. Now, I think, and this is just me, I think there's a direct correlation between Ryan Cole MD and Ryan Cole Regenerative Farmer, because you're an agrarian now. You put yourself close to the land. Thank God above for all the blessings of it. You see that it is a system that can be managed, and you can use it to your advantage just using what's there. Like you said, it snows in Idaho. You can't grow stuff year-round, so you supplement in with the alfalfa, but it does grow nearby, so you're not really...
Yeah, across the street, 40 acres across the street, and then I feed these beautiful little babies.
He's showing a picture of the lambs. You know, one of the most underappreciated meats, there are two in the United States that we just don't get enough of, and I love them both, and even though he's a bit of a nut job, God bless Ted Turner. Ted Turner has brought bison farming back. And you go to Ted Turner's Montana Steakhouse, you can't get any Black Angus, but you can get some buffalo.
Yes, so, you can.
Buffalo and bison and lamb. You know, how did we ever get away from lamb? You know, lamb's got such a unique, rich taste to it, and there's so much that you can do with it. You know, on the cooking shows, like if you watch the Food Network, the anathema to them, they don't want lamb. Because they don't know what to do with it, because it doesn't pop up on menus. But are you raising these lambs to eat, or are you just raising them to cuddle?
No. These are I call them land salmon. I mean, they're
land salmon.
That's what lambs are. If you grass graze them and don't grain finish them, one of my biggest hangups nutritionally is when we grain finish our grass grazed animals. Because you put, I'll go back to those omega-6 fats. When you grain finish them, now you change the fat inflammatory profile of the fats in your animal. If you can get a grass-fed animal, be it a cow, be it a lamb, you now have a land salmon, because that alpha-linolenic acid from the grasses, you know, converting into the EPA, DHA, and whatnot, you literally get those same healthy ratios that you would get in salmon. And so, I mean, I jokingly say it, but those healthy organic fats, I mean, I tell people, look, eat organic healthy fats, moderate protein, low carbohydrate. And I could bring down just about 98% of people's cholesterol profiles just on that diet alone. So grazing these little critters on pure grass, not, you know, adulterating them with antibiotics, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they literally are land salmon, and they do melt in your mouth. And people that don't like lamb have not eaten 100% grass-raised lamb.
I love lamb, and I love it because it jumps out at you. It does have it. And I've had when I was in Scotland 7 years ago, you get a real Scottish lamb. And you're driving around, and you know what you see? The people that know what they're doing? Flaxseed in one field or clover, lamb in the next. Mm-hmm. And they'll just... swap them, just like you're doing. They swap them. And you get Scottish-raised lamb, and it's delicious. It does not taste like the farm-raised lamb that we have. All right. I don't want to keep you. You're a busy man. You got a lot to do.
For hours, man. This is great.
Well, on Free Farm Friday, one of the things that we talk about, and this came up as a result of COVID and the restrictions and lockdown, and many of us fearing that, my goodness, they're going to come after us. They're going to try to starve us out. You know, Hank Williams Jr. song, like, guys, you can't starve us out, and you can't. Well, if they try and starve us out, what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to take your advice in our Free Farm Friday, our farm master farmer's advice. They don't have massive plots of land. But they regenerate. You know, they grow their cover crop, they grow their crops, and they rotate their livestock, just like what you're doing. And this is the answer. And we have had thousands of people now come to this, like, okay, I want to learn more. I want to learn more. How do I do this? But I only have this small amount of land. I've seen people that have one half of an acre, okay, fill a cellar up with tomatoes and the products of them, sauces and what have you. They grew their own potatoes. They grew their own garlic. They grew in all their yellow squash and green zucchini. This is all in 1 year now. And they harvest and they raise their own chickens, so they have their own eggs. And they're going to learn in the next year how to do meat chickens. I think that the Corona Doom lockdowns, that this evil from the cabal, it is completely flipped to their disadvantage. Because all they've done is activate a bunch of us that are going like, all right, you can have that world. I don't want it. I'll go in this one, and I will do all the things you and I have talked about today. I will eat healthy. I will eat smart. I will organic farm or raise as the land will let me. Everything that I need to survive. But most of us, unlike you, though, we don't have degrees in medicine. So we can't. Hey, honey, cue up the oxygen. 22 gauge hypodermic. Check. All right. 5 cc's of lidocaine. That's the one thing that most of us can't do that you can do. But I think people are finding it fascinating that an actual doctor is actually out there farming, agrarian, regenerative farming. Joel Saladin. Does Joel know that you follow him?
I don't know. I have a good friend that was at one of his seminars this summer, and she studies the gut microbiome, because so goes your gut, so goes your overall health.
Right.
And if you've got good bugs in your gut, then you're going to be healthy and well. If you have industrial processed food in your gut all the time, you've got an unhealthy microbiome. So goes that regeneration of the earth. Your gut is your soil too. So regenerating your gut, eating the healthy things, same thing. Joel's fantastic. I mean, I've followed him for years, and then Zach Bush and others. You know, just this whole concept of health and wellness doesn't come from a pill bottle. Health and wellness comes from the earth. And so this whole concept of you need to be dependent on a sick care system, when the earth beneath you is really your health care system.
Okay. So much more we could discuss. I like to leave some fertile ground for the future. So let's agree that you and I will talk again soon.
It'd be an honor, Mike. It would be an absolute honor.
It's a real honor to meet you, because as I said, you know, there are many people out here that I don't know if you know this. Maybe Ashley tells me, oh, he's so sweet. He's such a humble guy. So you probably don't know this. You know what it means to people that are being told, you'll lose your job if you don't do what I tell you to do and get this vax. No, I will not prescribe HCQD. You know what my medical doctor told me? My doctor of 13 years, you know, he told me when I called him last November and I did have something, maybe I had COVID, I don't know, had it for 16 days. You know what he told me? Go get a PCR test, lots of water, and Tylenol. He would not see me. And so I didn't even bother to ask for hydroxychloroquine. And I couldn't get it, so I went to a ReadyMed. They gave me Z-Pak. I did the zinc and the vitamin C. Didn't know about the vitamin D then, but I beat it. I beat it, and I was very sick. I never had the heaviness in my lungs, but I had the fever and the chills, and I had it for 11 days. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the 10th day that I got the Z-Pak, and by day 15, most of the symptoms had gone, but I was short of breath. I mean, heavy breath. Like, if I would cough, it'd be...
Right.
One of that kind of cough, like you don't want to cough because you know you're going to lock your lungs up for 3 seconds. So I had it. I had something bad. My own doctor basically abandoned me. And I always thought that he was like a homeopathic type, because he would always sit down. He was very, very nice, very cordial in explaining, Mr. Church, this is what's going on with you, and this is why this is happening. So let's treat it conservatively. And I always liked that about it. He was never, here, take this. Mm-hmm. He was always very conservative. That doctor was just abandoned. And many people, I'm not alone, tens of millions of people went through the same thing. So when we saw on video Ryan Cole, Shimon Gold, Dr. Zed Zelenko, and others, you guys became rock stars. This is like, hey, we're not nuts. We're not crazy. And there are medical doctors saying, no, you guys are correct. Keep doing what you're doing. And the fact that the America's Frontline Doctors, AFLDs, that they actually said, we're going to do something about this. Here's our website. If your doctor will not see you and won't prescribe it to you, call us. We'll do it over there. So just tell me how you got involved with AF, with the America's Frontline Doctors.
Well, Simone actually saw some of my videos too and reached out to me. So she invited me and said, hey, you're speaking sense. I would love to meet you. So I ended up in Tennessee speaking at a couple meetings with her. And then, as you can tell, I'm kind of a nerdy scientist. And I said, I'd like you to help guide some of our medical decisions. Because, you know, some people go down pathways that I think are too extreme for me. I like to try to keep it focused in the middle. It's not a political issue. What can we do to help? So for me, it's about what's the basic science? What's the research? So I've been, you know, working with her, and then Dr. Marble out of Florida, myfreedoctor.com, he reached out as well. And he's like, hey, can you help medically advise? Just make sure we're doing the right things. I study mechanisms of action of medications all day long. And to your point, there are things that we can do, early intervention. Never in the history of medicine have we said to a patient, gosh, you know, that broken leg, you know, with the bone sticking out sure looks bad. You know, might as well just go home for 2 weeks when it's gangrenous. Well, yeah, then you can come back in. or a woman has a UTI. Oh, gosh, yeah, you got a UTI for sure. Go home. When it turns into a kidney infection, then we'll treat you. Never in the history of medicine have we done this to patients. So we knew early there are things we can do to intervene. I mean, COVID itself is simply an inflammatory and a clotting disease. Yes, if you get treatment on board early, you can inhibit the virus replicating as well. But ask your doctor, hey, have you ever treated inflammation before? Duh, of course they have. So, you know, steroids and suppression at the appropriate day. What about clotting? Of course I know how to treat clotting. Well, good, treat it appropriately. COVID's a clotting disease. So it's just like, and bless their hearts, I mean, so many good doctors out there, but they're afraid of the systems in which they're trapped because they'll get fired. They know a lot of what we know. They want to do it. They're afraid for their careers, their jobs, threats from other agencies and companies and what. They're stuck in a system. We've built a system that has become a guideline-based system instead of a human-based system, and that's the problem.
And then just put a coda on that. The men and women primarily that do say, I won't be a part of it, I won't do it, are your nurses, nurse practitioners. Many, many, by now probably hundreds of thousands of good dedicated nurses are going like, I have been here taking care of these people since February, 2 years, and now all of a sudden I'm the problem? Well, you, buddy. I'll go move to Idaho and go work for Cole Diagnostics. I don't need this. And look, you gotta respect it that they're going like, I don't care what I have invested. I won't be a part of your scheme. This is admirable. And we're seeing so many thousands upon thousands of nurses going like, nope, I will not, won't have nothing to do with it.
God bless them. And I mean, if you want really good healthcare, you have really good nurses. They're really who run medicine. I mean, honestly, they're the heroes. And those nurses, they know what's going on because they see it more than the doctor. Right. So you're right. God bless them for standing up, helping save lives, and do the right thing. So, yes, God bless those nurses.
All right. How do people follow Dr. Ryan Cole if you want them to?
I'm not on the socials a whole lot because I'm generally working too much and or lately traveling and lecturing. But I do have a website, R. Cole, my letter R, rcolemd.com. Very simple. We have little by little, I put some of my videos up there, adding more of the references. A lot of people ask, hey, what about this paper? How do you know that? I'm like, here's the peer-reviewed evidence, et cetera. So rcolemd.com. Very simple.
And I have several friends in Montana. Now I have I have one friend in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and now I have maybe I have two friends now. So
come on, spend time, Mike. Come on up.
when I make my way to Montana, and then I got to go just a little further west and make my way to Idaho. You know, one of the things about for people like me, like my brother-in-law used to call me because they're from Maine. Whenever I would go to Maine, I'd say something about whatever we were doing. I'd go, okay, whatever, Flatlander, because you don't know. But you started out as a Flatlander. You're like me. So you're proof that Flatlanders can become Highlanders.
I've lived here, there, and everywhere, and I almost took a job at Baton Rouge years ago. And, you know, I guarantee I love the South. I mean, you're good cooking down there. So I've been down there before as well. But beautiful country. I mean, beautiful people, beautiful places. And it's all just, you know, we're a beautiful nation.
All right. You raise the beef. I'll teach you how to Southern blacken it using my blackening seasoning. It's a date. I'm going to come out to Idaho.
It's a deal, my friend. That sounds fantastic.
That's awesome. Everybody, put your hands together out there for Dr. Ryan Cole. You don't meet very many good men like you. It's always a joy, and it's a blessing to know, again, we're not nuts, and that there are still really good men and women left in medicine. You're not part of the medical industrial complex. And, you know, to those guys that you were talking about earlier, that, you know, that they're afraid, this is part of the problem. This is how the Nazis got 7%, 93% to go along with 7%. It's that fear. It's that fear factor. They hold the student loans over their heads, and it is an oppressive regime. And the few people that managed to find a way to actually not sell their souls and stay in it. I mean, that's what we're looking for, folks. But also, as Dr. Cole points out, if you were listening intently, you don't need him very often. Anyway, we don't need him very much. We need him more to grow food than we do to doctor us. So, great conversation. God bless you. Nice to meet you. Tell your wife, I guess she's sitting over there. Tell her we said hi and hope to meet her someday. And Dr. Ryan Cole, come back soon. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Mike. You stay well. All the best.
Okay. All the best to you. Thank you very much. Bye.